that it's like, instead of being distinct species, the different media are now just a kind of a different angle on the same everything.
Yeah. Okay, so I think this quote is saying that, ideal as it would be for individuals to be individuated, there's a breakdown, and you have to come back to the general species to hold things together. Did you get that from what I read?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know okay, but I'm not sure what the context is of this guy's stuff, but it's not immediately apparent what he's saying or what his goal is. But let's just do it with the way McLuhan says. A world in which there are no technologies, but only individuals, all belonging to a single connubium. That describes what Brian just described. We're all individuals by our design of our pages, and we're all in the same membrane, or connubium. Every individual is different from every other one in varying degrees, and every individual is capable of mating with those others that are most similar to it. In such a world, every individual would be, so to speak, the center of a series of concentric rings, that's what we are, of increasingly more different individuals. Any two mates would be, on the average, rather different from each other and would produce a vast array of genetically different types among their offspring. Now, let's assume that one of these recombinations is particularly well adapted for one of the available niches. It is prosperous in this niche, but when the time comes for mating, this superior genetic complex will inevitably be broken up. There's no mechanism that would prevent such a destruction of genetically superior combinations, and there is therefore no possibility of the gradual improvement of genetic combinations. The significance of the species now becomes evident. The reproductive isolation of a species is a protective device against the breaking up of its well-integrated, co-adapted system. Well, the word technologies, it's only in there once. Mm. So I guess you could say he's looking at why there is a general matrix, a general medium. There has to be a general something that all the surface eccentricity and stylistic differences in media, which will always be undermined, none of them will get a toehold. So he's talking about them being canceled. Mm-hmm. Something gets going good in a niche, it'll be broken up when it mates.
Yeah.
So books made it with newspapers. Newspapers made it with the telegraph. So each had their day, and then fell away, and then were subject to recombination.
Yeah, and it's like a similar, I guess, just anxiety of wanting, anxiety of knowing you're going to disappear and you can't clone yourself. You know?
Right.
That, like, whatever offspring you can launch at the future is going to be not identical to you. And of course, even if it was genetically identical, it'd grow up different and probably rebel against you, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's like, you know, it's an eternal impossibility, this an eternal anxiety of just knowing that your adaptability to a niche is always going to be threatened to be broken up anyway. So how can you?
Yeah.
You can't rely on biology to transfer that to the next generation or something. I don't know.
So I'm going to take that paragraph of the interplay of these forms. It's a tavern scene, like in Fitting His Wake, where somebody's talking and it gets everybody's attention for a while, and then someone comes up with a better story, and then attention shifts to them. So in the act of conversation among humans, that process, as biologists laying out, is what happens every day. Nobody can dominate.
Yeah.
In a tribal gathering, or just people who are not economically in a hierarchy, which is what goes on in a pub. Everybody comes from their specialist job and they hang out and they're kind of equal and play darts, right? But everybody's talking, yakking, taking turns entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I'm getting from this for the first time, that Mayer is describing what McLuhan says: all technologies take on the character of conversation eventually.
Okay. Mm.
They become words. And he means, when he says replace species with technologies, later he would say replace them with technology, which means words, so
right.
Different words. So Joyce was able to absorb all different arts and sciences under the percept that it's all words, it's all linguistic.
Mm-hmm. And
he subsumes everything,
blending specific words into each other rather than preserving them as distinct species.
Yeah, he was showing the mutation of them and predicting new forms that would come. Like he has the word email in there, emailia, E-M-A-I-L-I-A.
Yeah.
Who knows what that meant, if it meant anything to him, but we can, you know, glom onto it and say, oh, look at this, he's got emailia in here.
Mm-hmm.
The word that was invented, but already was in Finnegan's Wake. So, I don't know if there's any more to say. I can start playing a pretty interesting recording. Lots of interesting esoteric and other patterns here coming up.
Wait, Bert, I have to ask Bert something.
Yes, yeah, go ahead.
Bert, do you remember the recording from last week with Ion and Connie about the medical thing, the medical ailments, you know, their session, the last one?
Yes.
Do you feel like you heard that one before?
Some of it, yes. I do remember. But,
you have heard some of it?
I don't, you know, but a lot of it you don't, I mean, some of it is like maybe we've heard something in the context. I don't really remember. I mean, it felt familiar. Put it that way. I'll just say this. It felt familiar to me. Now,
but you never would have heard it, but I might have said it somewhere else.
Right. That's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, these
felt
things
familiar.
Were never heard. I never heard them before. I never played them. I never listened to them. This is all first time for them to even be heard. Carol never re-listened to them. She just did them.
But I feel like I heard that session before.
Well, maybe you personally, subjectively went there, you know, traveled there.
The reason why I remember is because some of the things that he gave applications of, I put them into work. And this was a few weeks ago before the session actually played.
Oh, you just did it recently.
Yeah, so the session was played last week, but when I was listening to it, I was like, we're listening to this again. And then I remembered
you
know.
I'll go back and re-listen,
yeah.
Eliza.
But the things that...
It's not important.
You know,
Eliza, how is this not important? I'm going to play you something tonight that you never heard before. I never heard it before. Carol's never heard it before.
Well, I just...
It might say something. That Ian said something.
Well, because I was putting those things into application. I was like, what? It's just interesting. So I thought I'd play this.
Hey, look. Here's an interesting thing. Talking about, like, that could be an anomaly. But you remind me, where is that? Here's a person wrote to me. They had an anomaly. Listen to this. I was at work, and a colleague came in and said he had just seen me outside with my bike, and I even smiled at him. He was in real shock. And then this person says, you saw somebody else. And he says, no, it was you. So one of our Ionauts, their double was seen.
Mm.
I mean, the guy, he saw this person outside. He comes in. Now the person's inside. How'd that happen?
Oh, my.
I was at work, and a colleague came in, and he said he just seen me outside with my bike, and I even smiled at him. He was in real shock. I said, you saw somebody else. He said, no, it was you. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Ian did say that there's going to be more and more anomalies.
Like that. Probably more and more like that, right? Yeah?
In general.
This is Anomaly University.
Yes.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay,
the story.
So,
the guy that he was skiing in Canada, was it, that disappeared and showed up in California? And there were a bunch of people looking for him in the snow in the mountains, and he showed up in California, and he still had his ski gear on and everything, and was confused
Where,
and didn't
know.
Is this
a news story? I don't
yeah,
know.
It was
a news story?
Yeah, it was a story in the news this week.
Ah, yeah, he's from Toronto.
From Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toronto firefighter goes missing on a ski trip in New York State. And then 5 days later, he turns up totally fine, except for not knowing how the hell he got there in California.
And what happened? Did he go home or what?
Yeah, he just called,
yeah,
he called his wife.
And like he, yeah, if it was a hoax and he was trying to go to see someone else, it was pretty weird. Well, he could have. Disappeared on the, it'd be pretty hard to disappear from your skiing gang, right? But let's say he did, he goes and does something, then he takes his gear and then dresses and claims. He could claim this. It could be a hoax, right?
Yeah, I was thinking he, they say it was a situation where, you know, they were wrapping up for the day and he's like, oh, I'm going to take one more run. And then he never comes back to the hotel. So,
okay, well, he wasn't seen. So he took off.
Yeah, maybe he was covering up some, going to visit someone or something.
Yeah.
Well, he was really stupid then because, you know, they sent out volunteers. Everybody was searching for him on the mountain thinking he was going to die.
Yeah.
So
well, he might have been
pretty
kidnapped and all that.
He was very confused, though, when he called his wife. But he could also, he could have just walked through a portal and then days later realized, wow, how the hell am I here in California? Like, without a passport or anything.
Well, I have to follow up. That's an interesting story.
Yeah, he had no explanation.
I'll have to call him and interview him. I have to interview him.
Interrogate him. We're going to debrief him.
Yeah. And like, how confused is he? Is he still confused? Does he not care anymore? It happened. He's not going to think about it. Are people emailing him saying, no, here's what happened? You know, and have all these different theories. Is he being harassed?
Right.
Okay, well, that's a good story. I'm glad we got to that. So now we go to the main feature, at least for univocal presentations. And, okay, wait a minute. People are typing in here. We should check this out. Oh, okay, here's Susan knows about August. August Wilson wrote one play for each decade of the black experience, won two Pulitzer Prizes, has a Broadway theater named after him. All right, so he's a big deal. Mateo tells you, Jason, the drops is its own environment. The analogy you teach the kids, fish can't do well in the desert. Ascension without the drops is a similar situation. Mateo quotes me, Dobbs' vision stands proven. Michael says, Bob's chart transcends the bias of the eye. Minimax says, alert your eyes. Hey, Guru G. Gurji, we had a guy, black guy from L.A., in early tailgates, 2010. He dropped
out.
Yeah,
I remember him.
You
would
have heard him in the...
Yeah,
Guru. Well, this is Gurji, yeah. Something alienated him. He dropped out. Never did return. Maybe the same thing happened to Califia, too. Mateo says, the pain of real education. Quoting me, the massage is part of the message. I mean, he's like you, Gene. He's logging what the great Bob says. He's
fabulous.
But the Oracle says. Michael says, yes, Mateo, if you mistakenly take an enema, engaging with Bob will get a good cough out of you. That is quite a talent in itself. You fuckers undermining my manifesto. You are a talented fucker, Bob. You've hijacked a talentless movement. Claiming you're talentless.
Jug's got, there's some great graphics on the chat tonight.
Yes. Jug has this spiraling. So, Bert, it shows you how, if you're not reading Time magazine or something every week, how you don't even know what your own culture is doing. You don't even know this great playwright's got his own theater.
No. Right. No.
Too many other bodies. That's chemical body success.
I'll read the Cabal article to get some insight into Google. Hey, Bob, real quick.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, Cabal's thesis is that with the division and people, the elite trying, Hollywood, the Jews in Hollywood trying to cause civil war between the blacks and whites, he says August Wilson would help improve the dialogue, his plays would educate white people or the alt-right to calm down or something. He sees them as a bomb, a B-A-L-M, a bomb effect.
Yeah.
Mateo says, he says, speaking of enema, bullshit artist is a talent indeed. Uh-oh, Mateo's turned against me. Calls me a bullshit artist. We haven't got the week report. What fucking insights did you get this week from listening to my archives?
Well, I was open this week, and I saw on the YouTube where they gave me a suggestion to watch Helga Zepp LaRouche's What is the New Paradigm? So I listened to, the first half hour, and she started off talking about the resistance to the Silk Road and that China can't own things and this and that. So then something told me, said, go back and listen to China and USA that Bob played. And Bob, that's really... That was top secret what you released. I mean, I listened to the first 15 minutes of last week's private session you shared, and I was like, holy shit. I mean, I took notes, and I was like, this should have never went out because it's contrary. I mean, most people do not know about the national parks being opened up in 1830-something, and then 100 years later it's given to the Chinese, and that was like, poof. So everyone that's talking about China can't own things has no idea what's really going on at all.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's out in the open.
In that
really
period, in the period where we put little things out back in 2010, 2011, a politician called J.W.
Really?
And said, what you're putting out there, or what the politician didn't understand, or you think it's J.W., what you're saying on your radio show. And I don't think J.W. said, no, that's non-physical. But anyways, the guy said, you're in trouble. You would be in trouble for what you're putting out there. That's really dangerous, and we don't like that. But because you guys have a sense of humor, we can back off. Now, I think the guy was a coward. I think he's afraid of Ion, and so he had to defend that he wasn't afraid by saying, because, oh, we like you. You're funny. You're putting out the truth. You're telling who killed Kennedy, but you do it with humor, so no one believes you. So we're okay with that. Sounds a bit preposterous, but that's what the guy said to JW. Watch it.
Wow.
Told us to watch it, but because you got that Bob on there, he's a fucking idiot. Nobody will take it seriously.
Now, Bob, did somebody report to this politician that this was going on?
I don't know how they heard it, but, remember Buffett's secretary, Warren Buffett's secretary, called up and just said, what the hell are you doing?
Yes.
And JW really knew what they meant. Because he's got ESP sort of too. And he goes, oh, just having fun. He says, okay, good. We were just wondering. Thank you. Goodbye. I don't know what. They're crazy. They're trying to police. His big brother calls him, but he hasn't got any fucking time to go into it. He says, okay, good. That's good enough. Bye. We got other stuff to do. They're harassed, these big brother bureaucrats. They got too busy with other shit. So, maybe Buffett told some politician. I don't know. I mean, JW is...
Well, there's talk in the circles. There's some sort of gossip going on about...
People. And Ian's always told me they had people spying on us here, living a couple of houses down the road, watching us.
Yeah.
And they eventually gave up. Nothing was going on from what they could see. We weren't doing whatever they thought we might be doing.
The ionic cloak.
We had the ionic cloak. And another thing is, with the surveillance, so JW in his world is quite well known. I mean, he's a personal friend of Buffett's. So some of those people are going to bump into this, hear it somehow. And they heard it, and they knew it was him. They thought it was him, you know. What's he doing? So we got all other stuff we can't talk about of institutions that JW had to go to, and
wow.
for different reasons. And people, scientists, let them know that they knew what we were developing and said, you know, can we be part of it? They actually made proposals to join.
Wow.
Yeah, Carol.
Did he tell
him
you have to go talk to Bob?
No, Jake, JW would talk to Carolyn about this and whether she wanted to sort of do it. And Carolyn, coward, would say, no, I ain't doing nothing. I'm staying right here. She didn't trust him. Remember, she used to be in the Secret Council of 10, so she knows how fucked up it can get. So she was probably right. But anyways, you guys have no clue who you're talking to right now.
Yeah, I'm at the point where I try not to even think about it, Bob. You know?
Yeah, don't think about it. Look at Roy
right.
in Godless. He was part of the Secret Council 10. He was running. He was a co-criminal with his father, his adopted father, right? Well, that's what I tell you I come from. Same background.
Yeah.
Remember that? Okay, come on, let's get going. But that's it, Bert. Good point.
One more thing. I want to thank Carolyn for her 22nd century heart webinar. It's one to go back and take notes for everyone. Everyone needs to go back and listen to that about maybe four times because it has the 22nd century science of the solutions
of
nice. Magnesium.
Yeah, Carolyn can't thank you. Her
No, that's okay. She doesn't have to, but I just want to thank her for the record because that's one for everyone to go back and listen to from the first minute to the last minute. It covers everything because that's a big solution. I mean, probably everyone has had a family member or a friend or a cousin has had heart problems.
Yes.
And she lays it out there. There's no holds barred, and it's really it's advanced biology. I mean, it made me think of listening to the seminar made me phase back to like my junior year in college. I had an elective. I had to get some electives to graduate. So I took a advanced biology course, but I took it in summer school. So I was at the campus and I took it and just blew me away. But Carolyn makes it so simple for someone to understand anatomy and physiology. And how
right.
it works.
You're saying it blew you away? It put you in a numb state of incomplete pattern recognition?
Yes. I mean, just how frustrating it was to read a book and go in class and have someone lecture you. But then how Carolyn laid it out in the hour and 20 minutes about how the heart worked, which is the heart, you know, like Ian says, the heart of matters matter to heart. I mean, that's big.
Yeah.
The heart. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So we thank you, Carolyn.
She's in the background. She can't unmute. She says, thank you.
No, that's okay.
So, what she had, was her microphone clear enough through all of it?
Yes. I mean, I could hear. I mean, Jenny did a great job as well. I mean, it was a great, great webinar. Great. Everything was great. Perfect.
Right.
Slides. I mean, it's one to go back and make notes to be able to get other people like Jason to understand what's around his nose.
Yeah.
As far as the completeness formula, because everyone has a heart problem in this new environment, sooner or later.
Yeah, I think Jason left. Another incomplete seminar for Jason to get the whole story, unless he's listening.
He's like OJ.
So Carolyn,
he sounds like OJ.
Does he?
Sounds like OJ.
Oh, OJ, yes. the guy we have, our OJ?
Yes.
Huh, yeah.
He doesn't take the problem.
OJ doesn't live in Vancouver, Carolyn. Yeah. Well, he doesn't sound like OJ. OJ's got a harder voice.
No, I'm not talking about literally the voice, but just his background that he doesn't take the products, but he calls and challenges Bob. That's all.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
for me.
He makes me insult me. You know, you're a fucking you got an egomaniac. You got an ego. It's so irrelevant. Carolyn, OJ is in L.A. I don't know. He doesn't have any friends in Vancouver. Oh, you mean MJ? Yeah, MJ. Yeah, he's in Vancouver.